What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports. It's JJ.
And Mike.
And this podcast special edition is brought to you by Naples Rib Company, as everything at the 562.org is brought to you by the Naples Rib Company. We have a very special guest today for this special podcast edition, Rob Wygod, Long Beach guy, and also the commissioner of the CIF Southern Section. Rob, thank you so much for joining us and having us in your beautiful office.
Thank you, JJ. Mike, always good to see you guys.
We are working on a story right now about the state of football. And the CIF Southern Section has put in a new rule, one of many new rules that are being put into football right now, about limiting hitting during the week of practice to 45 minutes. Talk to us about what thought process went in and how you were able to implement that rule.
I think that, the general sense in examining football and evaluating what's going on is, how do we make the game safer? And it's been a long-standing effort here, I would say, over the last several years. It started with, making sure that we had good concussion protocols in place, return-to-play protocols, the awareness of concussion. You know, it's expanded into heat and hydration issues. Now sudden cardiac arrest was the latest thing put into coaching education. And one of the things was hours of practice. Total hours of practice allowed during the week. And in football, how many hours of full contact minutes would be allowed each week? It started with 180. So the actual rule started, and then it's moved down to actually 45 minutes, to where 45 minutes of full contact allowed in a particular week of practice. People may wonder, what do you mean by full contact? That means hitting and taking them down to the ground and full, 100% scrimmage type situations. So again, just in an effort to try to make the game safer, statewide rule, and part of a bigger picture of, how can we continue to monitor the game of football and adjust rules to make it a safer game.
We commend you guys for the rule, because one thing JJ and I have sort of talked about in the article is, especially the NFL is more inclined, it seems like to me, with the changes they've made, to do kind of aesthetic changes, where what they don't want is people to see guys having big concussions in the game. But what all of the medical studies show is, it's exactly what you talked about. It's lowering the amount of time spent in practice every week that is actually going to make the biggest difference. But I would also imagine it provides a bigger change to the way that the whole football season's structured than, okay, we want you to tackle a different way. Did you hear a lot of pushback or frustration from coaches about, hey, this is really changing the way we've got to put our week together?
I think the greatest thing, and I want to credit our coaches about, is that they see it. They see the same thing. And I know sometimes the image of football coaches is that they are very tunnel vision, single-minded. It's all about the war that you fight, every single time you're out there. I would like to really give our coaches credit. They see the same thing that we see. If anything, the only reason they would be concerned about the number of minutes allowed just is that they could teach properly. That's really been more of the issue than you're taking something away from us and we think we should be able to hit more. It's just making sure that they felt, if we're looking at teaching students the better way to do this. Again, a lot of us dinosaurs, we all can talk about our days. It wasn't taught that way. And now the coaches know that there's a different way and a better way and a safer way to tackle. And they just want to feel they get an adequate teaching time to do that. And I appreciate that.
With this rule or any other thing that is trying to make football safer, how do you know if it's working?
Well, the only way you know is where you take statistics on injuries and take statistics on concussions and so forth. And so, it's a little harder to measure that, who is diagnosed with concussion and when and what the circumstances would be for each individual student. I think, that's probably something that we need to get deeper involved in. I don't know that there's really been an effort to do that kind of a study to say, well, before the number of minutes was changed, or before the rule about helmet-to-helmet contact, or the rules that, talk about limits on the hours of practice in general, we don't really have data that can show either way whether it's made that difference.
I think that is one of the things that's difficult about it that we talked about in the article, is the issue that we hear the most from parents, people sort of concerned about the CTE stuff. There's no diagnostic test for it. I mean, at least at the moment. And so that does make it kind of hard to gauge that stuff. Just, for you as a former football coach and someone who's obviously probably spends a good chunk of his week thinking about and managing football, If you had a son right now, he's 13, 14 years old, baseball year-round, football in the fall, baseball in the spring, what would your decision be as a father?
Well, my decision would be to allow him to play if he wanted to. I wouldn't push him into it, but I certainly wouldn't discourage him from doing it. And again, you know, my years are a long time ago, but I started in those days. My first year of tackle football experience was as a ninth grader. And, you know, I think I was okay in terms of waiting, you know, to start playing. I'm not going to, you know, discount those who start much earlier, but I would encourage my son to play. I love the game of football. I loved it then. I love it now. I thought it changed my life. Certainly made, you know, the lessons that I learned from that game, the lessons I still carry with me today. So, you know, I was a multi-sport guy. I was a believer in multi-sports. I still am, and I would love to see students do more of that. So if push came to shove, I don't have any sons. I have two daughters. But if push came to shove, I certainly would have encouraged my son to play, and if he wanted to, and I would have encouraged him to play more than one sport. Because real quick, I'll throw in that, and you probably know this, that they say that how many of the NFL, what's the percentage of NFL players that –
It's like, I believe 28 of the 32 first-rounders last year.
We're all multi-sport guys. So, you know, that's kind of a neat thing to see.
Should high school football fans in California expect more rule changes, both in practice and during games, for high school football?
That's a great question, JJ. I think, you know, we always want to get better, and I think we always want to improve and evolve. So I don't think we're done, and I think we've made some good changes. I think there's more to come. You know, I can't tell you exactly what they're going to be, because like a lot of things, you make those changes and you see how they work. Like the initial limit on full contact, we put it out there. At first, people thought, wow, can we live within these frameworks? Yeah, we can. In fact, we're not even using that limit. So that's what spurred actually reducing the number of full contact minutes. And so now that that's implemented. So, you know, I think we want to continue to evolve. We want to put, you know, health and safety is the number one priority in all of our sports. Number one is the health and safety of student athletes. So that effort will continue, and I'm sure that there will be some more things that hopefully will continue to make the game safer.
So last thing, kids are back in school now. Let's say football's also in a classroom, and it's getting a grade. What grade would football have right now? I mean, are they hanging at that B, A level, or are they down at the C, C minus, trying to pass?
Well, what do you mean? Just in terms of the...
Just the health of the sport, like how you feel football's doing right now.
Oh, I think it's doing...
Does he need to come home and have his parents sign the grade sheet?
I don't think so. I think football is still up there at the higher grades. I think it's above average. I'm not going to give it an A-plus at the moment because, again, I know there's genuine concerns about the safety of the game, and that's why... You know, we have seen the declining numbers, but I guess I would still want to keep emphasizing to anyone and everyone that the game is safer now than it used to be. I think we can make it safer, and I do think that the benefits of what football do for young people, for schools, for communities, for, you know, the whole purpose of education-based athletics, football's a huge part of it, and I'd hope it continues to be a big part of what we do and that, you know, we can maybe turn this back around.
Okay, that was the last question from JJ. This is the last question from me. One of the things we talked about in the article is sort of what you just referenced. Like, football, the numbers are going down, but if you look at the numbers compared to every other sport, you go, well, baseball would love to have 1,030,000 kids across the country playing high school baseball right now. Can you compare just from your perch, because I think you oversee, obviously, a wide breadth of what's going on in high school sports generally. Is football still just so much more popular than every other sport? You know, I mean, in terms of attendance, in terms of excitement, in terms of the stuff you guys hear, like Fox Sports isn't coming to you guys begging for TV deals for the other sports, right? I mean, it's still sort of the king in terms of what fans are going out to see.
Well, I think you're right. You know, Mike, it's gets the most attention. And, you know, just before we went on the air here, you had given me an incredible statistic when you told me about the percentage of people that watch football or the highest rated programs. I think you said 77.
Yeah, 71 of the top 100 watched television shows were football games
at some level. So obviously it gets a huge amount of attention. And again, it on a high school campus, you know, it has a huge impact. It really does. It's a unifier. It's something that really brings everybody together. So, you know, I just hope that, you know, we can continue to have it be what it has been, and but with the safety and health of everyone involved, it's a great part of American society. I mean, it's something done all over this country, and it's an important part of the high school athletic experience and the high school experience in general. You know, just to have that as a unifier.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Rob. We really appreciate it. We'll talk soon, and good luck the rest of this athletic year.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate your work.